So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American first energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
And it's another edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. We welcome everyone into today's broadcast. Got a great guest who's going to join us. We'll tell you about our guest today, J-Doc, in just a moment. But as we transition into the month of April here in 2025, the Labor and Energy Show, pardon the pun, is getting a lot of steam. We're getting a lot of good conversation and a lot of good guests that we've been able to talk to. All of our shows have been fantastic in terms of being able to live true to our the method to our madness, and that is educate the public on the Labor and Energy Show.
Yeah, Joe, today is an awesome show. We have Mike Umbro, who's the founder and principal of FieldView Capital Advisors, as well as the CEO and founder of Californians for Energy and Science. And he's an entrepreneur who's, like I said, the founder of both those organizations. The nonprofit is focused on researching the net costs and the benefits of energy produced in California versus energy produced outside the state. Okay, Mike's going to talk about the entire process and in a sense how they can fix energy issues in California, which, as we know, is attributed almost exclusively to energy. Anti-energy laws and policies. And I can say that when I heard about this organization, I heard about Mike, and man, you and I talk about the smartest guy in the room. He is the smartest guy in the room. He's very versed in the energy space, but he's also in the advocacy space. And a lot of things are going on in California. A lot of things start in California in regards to energy policy across the country. Okay. And that has our heads spinning a lot. Okay. But thankfully, Mike and his organization have a great group of experts, and we're going to talk about them, who are addressing a lot of these issues. And, obviously, if they're in California and they're doing this, they're doing it in the face of a lot of activism, extreme activism. And so they got their hands full, but we can't wait to talk to them.
Yeah, and we've covered a lot of ground on that, just even specifically on the EV mandates. We've done a lot of that conversation here on the Labor and Energy Show. I will take a quick reminder to let our viewers and our listeners know to download, go to Apple or Spotify, search the Labor and Energy Show, and you can download this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with Mike and or our entire catalog of programming here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. We'll get to our first commercial break. J-Doc returns on the other side. Back in a moment.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at Retiree First.com.
Buying a car is a big decision. Makes, models, colors, cost. But soon enough, the government is going to make that decision for you. Delaware and New Jersey are on a collision course to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars. In 2035, you'll have no choice but to buy an electric vehicle in those states. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Mike Umbro, who's the founder and principal of Field View Capital Advisors. Mike is also the founder and CEO of Californians for Energy and Science. So, Mike, welcome to the broadcast.
Appreciate it. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's awesome to have you, my friend. And, if you would, to start off, we got a lot to talk about. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into the energy space, and touch a little on Field View Capital Advisors before we get into the nonprofit.
Sure. I have an unconventional entry into the oil and gas and energy space. I'm born and raised in San Diego, have no family ties to the industry. I really fell into the industry in a background on finance. So I'm an investment banker by trade, started my career in 2005 when we were running out of energy locally in the United States. And we were searching for conventional assets with drilling upside. And I ended up starting Field View Capital Advisors at a young age in 2008 in the depth of the financial recession, or great recession, I guess, as we used to call it, as it's remembered, and started partnering private equity companies with upstream oil and gas assets. So successfully completed some transactions that I put together in South Texas when the Eagle Ford Shale was really popping off back in the 2010 to 2012 range. And then really wanted to transition from being a investment banking intermediary to an operator, a developer of energy assets. I saw the value of it from that perspective, and went back to school, studied energy business, went back to school again, studied environmental management, being in California, started an oil and gas operation in Central Valley, Kern County, the southern San Joaquin Valley on the west side. And so I've been doing that since about 2017. And in the middle of that, we said, okay, well, we need to advocate for ourselves because there is a critical lack of education on how energy ties into economics, ties into the environment in California, specifically the world's fifth largest economy, and really the tone setter for all things environmental policy across the United States. And so we started Californians for Energy and Science about 3 years ago. We're a grassroots organization with about 450 members now, the largest operators of energy assets, oil and gas, renewables, refining, you name it. We're bringing everybody into our tent to educate high school students, college students, young professionals, retirees on the value of energy and local energy production in the state of California and throughout the United States.
Well, it's interesting, man, because I'm listening to your path, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because we got into the space obviously differently, okay. But I'm trying to think of one of the guests we had on, and after the show, I'll say you probably know him, but he had a nonprofit focused on renewables. Mm-hmm. And as he got into it, he couldn't help but to be educated. And once you get educated, you understand that we can't just flick a switch.
Okay? Absolutely.
And so, you know, to me, as a layman, okay, we got into this space. Obviously, we do the labor show in Philly. We do a lot of talk radio. And so our path, you and I, exactly the same. I was a union iron worker. You're an investment banker. Somehow we crossed paths here. But so we've been doing a labor show for years in Philly, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about labor issues, jobs, and all those things. And our broadcast is one of the top in the country. If it's not, it's the longest running. We've never had issues getting politicians on shows ever. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we have great, you know, synergy with that, especially in the Philly region. All of a sudden, there's a fire at one of the refineries. Okay, mm-hmm. PES in South Philly. Yep. 33 units. One is burned. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, great situation with the professionalism, the efficiency down there. Nobody was injured. Okay, they were shutting that thing down in the process for a couple years. And finally, they called us and said, we need to get on, you know, we need a voice for this. Okay. Right. I, of course, as a young iron worker, worked at Sun Oil briefly. Okay. But they brought in the guys from the unions, USW, a lot of other union guys came in, and they were, and our hearts were bleeding, like
right.
all losing their jobs. And it was like being in the Twilight Zone. We start calling our political friends and contacts crickets.
Okay. Nothing. Yeah.
And we were getting extreme environmentalists coming into these neighborhoods. And these are like salt of the earth neighborhoods where the refineries were. The whole right. families work at the refineries.
Right.
You know, the safety, the efficiency. I mean, this is all dedicated. And they shut it down.
Right.
They shut it down eventually. Those people all lost their jobs.
Yep.
Okay. And at the end of the day, they sold the area, the business or the plot or whatever for $25 million less than mm-hmm. the bid they got to keep it open.
Right.
We got to do it that way. Like, in other words, you know, and you know, so I'm listening to your story and I'm going, holy crap. Yep. He gets right. into the investment bank and then starts investing in these projects. And now the world changes. Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little in regards to some of your experiences. Because it's awesome. We did the same. We have a 501c4, the Labor and Energy Alliance, mm-hmm. with Brendan Williams. That's what we did. Because mm-hmm. if you're in this space, you got to get involved.
You have to. It's happening in real time in California. We've gone from, I think, 44 or so refineries in the 80s. Now we've got less than 10 producing the jet fuel, diesel, gasoline products that we still consume every day. Demand has stayed above 500 million barrels a day in California since I've been born. I'm 42 in June. We've demand is inelastic on hydrocarbons in an economy like California. And so we've gone from needing the same amount of output to forcing fewer and fewer refineries to make those said products.
And importing them same resources from areas across the world whose standards, when it comes to environmental standards, working standards, efficiency, is nowhere near as what ours is.
If they even have standards at all. Exactly.
Evidently, the atmosphere only covers California and the United States, not China, Vietnam, and our adversaries in Russia and everywhere else in the world that doesn't like us. And so it's very confusing.
It is.
When you talk about this, by the way, our nonprofit is getting the word out to educate regular people on this. So we get smart people like you on the broadcast. Okay. We're translating. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's why I say, because you guys, I mean, I got to say it's a very complex situation. It's one of the reasons why it's so hard to communicate with the general public. And our goal is to provide a voice for professionals like yourself to educate the general public in what's going on. Talk about a turning point and what motivated you in starting, the nonprofit. I don't want to get into the nonprofit yet, but with your company, at what point are you doing? You're moving along, and you got financial opportunities. There's great projects in front of you, and you're getting hit by the Twilight Zone. Talk about some of them experiences that motivated you to do something.
Well, it's exactly what you're talking about. Groups from outside Kern County, where we're trying to produce. Kern County, by the way, I should mention, was the number one producer of oil and gas as a county in the United States in the lower 48 as recently as 2013. This state, California, is an oil and gas state. It has prolific reservoirs that rival Saudi Arabia in terms of productivity per acre. It is a massively influential industry. It has built California into the powerhouse that it is. So with that as historical background, we started developing an asset in 2017. And come to find out, you see environmental groups coming into the community that don't live in our community, that don't have any ties to the community, but they want to take advantage of disadvantaged people and send them misinformation on a daily basis saying, oh, this industry is poisoning your air quality. This industry is causing all of your health concerns. Meanwhile, let's ignore your lifestyle, your choices as a family, your grandpa that smokes in the living room, whatever. Let's just blame it all on the oil and gas industry. And what they do is they shut down the ability to permit projects. So my project is a perfect example. We've been going since 2017. We still haven't received drilling permits. Our field, our location is not in somebody's backyard. We're an hour drive west out of town in the middle of oil fields. So I started looking at this and said, how can we in oil country in California not be able to permit new wells in an area that has been developed for 130 years for oil extraction? It is absolute insanity.
Well, you're talking about that and permitting reform. There are so many backdoor ways that we're going to get into setbacks and all those things.
Yeah.
But the general public would have no idea what they're looking at trying to read a piece of legislation that, when you talk about how are we going to shut that down? We're going to make sure they don't get the permits. We're going to make sure, setback reform. I mean, it's unlimited the way, and they're supposed to be smart people, clearly smart enough to figure that out. And not the fact that, we have the best standards in the world. I'm sorry.
Right. No, it's true. And so you have groups, Center for Biologic Diversity, for example, when I was doing a Master's of Environmental Management, the founder came and spoke to us and he said, we exist to file lawsuits. Nothing about the environment. We exist to shut down energy production across the board. It doesn't matter if you're a solar project, they're going to find a wild endangered dandelion that you can't clear for your solar project. If you're an oil and gas producer, they'll find something and they'll sue you. And so I said, Well, we need to have a group that is advocating for truth with data, with science, that supports local energy production, because our carbon intensity is a fraction of that of the barrel that we're importing. Our jobs, you mentioned labor and energy. This is the perfect show to talk about. We have 500,000 jobs in the state of California dependent on the oil and gas sector. It's a $300 billion a year industry, even in its depressed state that it's been forced into by these activists. So the opportunity to educate is huge. And we've gone straight to college campuses, UC Berkeley. We've got a student chapter. People thought we were crazy. Oh, why are you going to Berkeley? It's a liberal hotbed. Well, because that's where all of the politicians that are appointing people to the California Air Resources Board, to these bureaucratic regimes that are set up to shut us down, they're handpicking these folks from these liberal universities. So if we don't go to where that action is taking place, then our side of the story is never told. So you have to go to the places that make you most uncomfortable to teach the young students about how our industry is absolutely vital for the state of California and the entire country.
Well, California impacts your energy policy in California impacts so many other states. You know, we opt in to the California rule, 17 or 18 states. What is the general public? What is the, you know, like, you know, one of the, when we went to some of our politicos here, it went during that PES debacle, you know, what happened was that these left-wing environmentalists are speaking louder. Or they're controlling the narrative, okay? And in a sense, they're bullies, okay?
Right.
And regular folks are just hearing that side because of all the great people out there. Somebody like you have taken a situation and you put together a nonprofit, but not a lot of people have been able to do that and for this purpose. And so they'll people only hear one side. That's you and I have a lot in common here because we're trying to take regular folks and just educate them on what we call common sense and energy. And it is the twilight zone of epic proportions. Nobody I've met, by the way, Mike, not one person, not one head of a trade organization. We have trade organizations, the AFPM, NMA, okay, MSC, Marcellus Shale, on our board, okay? Not one of them has ever stated that they do highly care about the environment, okay?
Yeah.
You have the heads of these energy organizations, traditional energy, are prioritizing the environment. They understand they're up against, but what do the folks out in California, I love what the regular meat and potatoes people out in California, you know, think in general about, especially when you talk about energy and where the policy comes from. What are folks talking about out there on these issues?
Largely, they don't know. They just know we pay the highest gasoline prices in the country. We pay the highest utility rates in the country. Why is this happening? They're starting to ask that question. What is going on? And it's incumbent upon us to teach them. There is such a thing as free market environmentalism. An example of that is the natural gas revolution that's happening in the Marcellus, and that's displaced coal and brought down carbon intensity, brought down emissions by way of bridging to clean burning natural gas. So market forces should be trumping political forces with the net benefits rolled down to the people. The people benefit from this: lower energy costs, better environment. Local energy, people don't realize in California that we do employ indirectly or directly 500,000 people. We are a $300 billion a year industry. We create jobs. We create tax base for counties like Kern. 8 of the top 10 tax-paying companies in Kern County are oil and gas or energy companies. It's a sustainable industry to support our local economy with less emissions. This is an important point that I like to make. There is no U.S. energy dominance without a restoration of California's energy dominance. Our local barrels must displace foreign imports. In 1983, the year I was born, California and Alaska supplied California's market. Today, it's Saudi Arabia, it's Iraq, it's Ecuador. The Amazon region, California imports more oil from the Amazon region, the lungs of our global ecosystem. We import more from the Amazon than we produce in the deserts of West Kern County. Right. Where,
if there was ever any environmental impact, it would be an area in the Amazon where, you know, there.
Oh.
You're in an area where, like, I've watched your video.
Yeah.
So there's nothing there, man.
It looks like the Mars with grass. Yeah.
When you pose that question, those questions, okay? When you sit there and you talk about wind farms, especially a wind farm has to be a thousand times bigger than a nuclear plant or something like that. Common sense stuff that you're talking about, okay? What responses do you get from these people? Like, in other words, you know, that, you know, you're sitting there, you didn't walk in the same way I didn't. I wasn't in this industry. So I didn't walk into this. I was a dinner table environmentalist too, right? In other words, you know, sitting around the table talking about, hey, me and my wife, we feed the birds every day on our deck, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, like, who isn't an environmentalist, right?
Right.
So I didn't get into this with an axe to grind. But what do these environmentalists say when you bring up the fact that a wind farm, you know, takes down more nature than a nuclear plant ever will? Okay, and that, you know, we can't run a wind farm without wind. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And EVs, as much as we like them, and nobody's saying don't buy them, okay? Except now, you know, in a crazy way. But the truth is, you know, we still need our internal combustion engine, and we can't just again shut down our grids. Or what are these common conversations like when you bring up facts, okay, to these people who want to shut it down all or nothing?
The best thing to do is to have a non-emotional conversation and point out to people, we have 6 gigawatts of installed wind capacity onshore in California. We're out of good sources for wind onshore. Now Sacramento's proposing 25 to 30 gigawatts offshore. So that's prohibitively expensive. That we already pay the highest utility rates in the country. Do you want more expensive rates? And when you pose it to them with really no benefit to the environment that you can measure, the California Public Utility Commission, there was a report from the Government Accountability Office in Sacramento that said, we cannot show any benefits being passed on to the ratepayers from these greenhouse gas emissions savings programs. So literally, when these programs are audited, they can't find any benefits to the environment or the ratepayer. That's pretty cut and dry. And it's a non-emotional way to present it to people saying, hey, it's not working. So why are we going down this path, this circular path of insanity, where you get higher rates, more expensive projects, less benefits to you or our entire state, and we're just stuck holding the bag? It's really ridiculous, and it's all Sacramento groupthink. The common Californian is not behind this. The common Californian, the everyday person, is just trying to live their life and pay their bills, and right now, they can't afford it.
Well, it's funny because the impressions, because we're on the East Coast, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, the common Californian, you know, our impressions are everybody's, you know, around a picket line shutting something down. Right. In other words, it's what, by the way, before we go to break, you just said, you gave, you know, all the facts right there. When you pose them to these people unemotionally, What do you get back? Is there any, you know, like, in other words, what's the response?
They want to learn more. They want to, you know, they want to buy a t-shirt. They want to support what we're doing. They want to know. People want to know the truth. And the common California doesn't wake up and say, I'm going to pick at a refinery. They look up, they say, is it cloudy? Can I go to the beach today? Can I enjoy it? The reason people live in California is because it's the best climate in the world. And it's kind of ironic that Sacramento has convinced people that we have a terrible climate that we in Sacramento need to save the earth from. people move here specifically because it's the best climate in the world. How ridiculous is that? And so the most people just have that outlook. And when you educate them, they get equipped. It feels good to know what's going on. So people are, you'd be surprised, but people are very receptive to that message.
Awesome. Well, listen, let's take a quick break. We're going to have more with Mike Umbro on the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Tom Lee Hackey has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. We've got a fantastic broadcast. I really couldn't be more excited. We've been doing the Labor and Energy Show for 3 years across the Atlantic coast. And, you know, when Brendan Williams had talked about bringing Mike Umbro on the program, I did my research, and I know you're a very successful energy entrepreneur. But I had not had, you know, the knowledge or the understanding. I didn't know there was even any groups in California that took this point of view. And so I was up last night talking to Brendan when he, you know, and I'm like, man, I cannot wait to get to the show, man. Yeah. So let's talk about, the nonprofit.
Sure.
Who makes up the group? Talk to us about, the mission. We understand, obviously how it got started, but, elaborate further at that point where you said, okay, I got to do something. Who comprises the group and what's the mission?
Yeah. So we're comprised of engineers, environmentalists, folks that work for oil and gas companies, folks that work for renewable companies, people that want to see affordable, reliable, continually cleaner energy produced locally under what we all know are some of the strictest environmental standards in the world. And so what better place to produce more energy than where you have this amazing framework underneath us? So we started about 3 years ago in a back room of a Basque restaurant in Bakersfield. Basque country is part of the history, part of the fabric of the community. So we met 15 people really just breaking bread, having dinner, having some drinks, saying, how do we fix this issue? And per, the name of your show, it was all about jobs. What we are about is labor, energy, economics to the local community. I tell people the past 6-7 years, ever since we've had a particular governor in office, it's felt like a funeral every time. I commute to Bakersfield, I should say, from San Diego, where I'm born and raised, but I commute every week for meetings and work. And so I've told my friends and family, it feels like a funeral every time I go up there because somebody's losing their job. And by the way, the job losses, we see the U-Haul jokes about California. California is losing our best workers. Our industry pays people $80,000 to $120,000 a year on average. Those are the people that are moving to Texas. Those are the people that are moving to New Mexico, to Pennsylvania, to places where you can permit energy projects. Those pipe fitters, those steel workers, those roughnecks, they're moving out and they're taking their income and their families with them. And what do we have to replace it? Nothing. We get a foreign barrel coming in on a tanker boat that spews emissions into our port communities. So we said enough is enough. We need to onshore that oil production. That's a $30 to $40 billion a year trade that we should be pumping back into our communities rather than paying some foreign producer to ship it to us. And we can lower emissions. We can create tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs, and hundreds of billions of dollars a year are at stake. And what we need to do is educate people through energy, through science, through scientific research that this can be done safely, locally, as it has been for 130 years in California. We can crank this baby back up again. We can permit baby permit. We can drill baby drill. We can build baby build. We can build this back one brick at a time. And that's what we're doing. We will save this industry. Californians for Energy and Science exists to save this state from the continued retardation of energy policies driven by Sacramento.
Well, I can tell you this, and I don't know if Brandon Williams had mentioned this, but we're in the process of communicating with the Martinez refinery out there near mm-hmm. San Francisco, and for the same purpose. Like, in other words, yeah. They wanted to know about our mission here. Okay,
right.
It's actually amazing how similar the origins are of our organizations. Ours was mm-hmm. our employers. And the refineries that obviously the Marcellus Shales, the organizations whose members employ and our union workers. Okay, so we took all of our resources, like you said, crushing our job. You are in the middle of financing projects with companies that are getting stuck in the mud here.
Right.
So we're both taking our resources and saying, listen, we got to educate people because. What's going on right now is like being in the Twilight Zone. And even when you take it a step farther and you talk about our energy security, okay? Mm-hmm. And, who would do something like that? If we had a drone that was 1,000,000 feet high and saying, okay, you're shutting yourself down, you're more efficient. Because the environmentalists, if they've done anything, they've tightened up all the legislation, all the regulations, right. Okay? Our efficiency and all those things, our standards, and by the way, nobody's sitting there, for the most part, fighting safety regulations and unless they get too extreme. But the point is, we've complied with a lot of what they've talked about, and it still isn't enough.
Right.
it's still not enough. And so at the end of the day, you look at what we're doing, and when you sit down, what are they doing in China now? They're building 29 coal plants.
Okay? Right, and heavy oil refineries, because they'll refine the product and send it on a boat, and we'll get it in California. That's what people need to be educated about, the fact that the refinery complex up and down the state of California was built to take California heavy crude. They didn't build refineries 100 years ago to take crude on tanker ships from around the country. It was built to take our blends of products. And I think breaking that down to people to say, look, these refineries are basically large kitchens. And so the ingredients, it's no different than where do you want to buy your produce? You want to buy it locally because it tastes fresh. You know, it's organic. It's what's best for your body. It's the same thing with the refinery complex. You want to buy the local barrel. You mentioned Martinez. They're connected via pipeline to the Central Valley, to the San Joaquin Valley. They were built to take our crude. And now we're shutting down drilling permits in the Central Valley, and it's starving the Martinez refinery complex from the ingredients it needs to make our product. What does that mean? That means they've got to import a barrel that is more expensive because it's got to get here from another country. They've got to reconfigure the refinery to take that crude because it's a little, every crude is a little different. So now they got to work for upgrading the refineries potentially. Again, that's more cost. You mentioned the regulations. Yeah, we'll meet every regulation. It comes with a cost. And so, you know, how expensive, it's kind of like we need to ask the environmentalists, how expensive do you want your gasoline to be? You want to make it $10 a gallon? Let's go. Let's, you know, how is this benefiting the environment or people? That's the fundamental questions we need to be asking.
Right?
Okay. Which is pipeline, no emissions.
Right. And we have, you know, we need them on the East Coast. Okay. Mm-hmm. No question. Now, I am, you know, listen, we've got great Teamsters. Great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And, you know, by train, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure we got the best professionals on the planet in all those areas. But what's more efficient and safer than a pipeline to you know, transfer fuel? Okay. Nothing. And exactly. I mean, they're, so there are so many issues, and I believe it, a lot of it has to do with a very unique situation where the industry just didn't know how to fight back. And mm-hmm. and in a sense, it's a very complicated industry. When, one of the things that we, as a member of the general public, in a sense, when you're, you know, you look at whether you live in California or anywhere, okay, you look at the big oil companies, the refiners, you just think there's a man behind a curtain there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's easy to throw, you know, rocks at them. Okay. But, and the language, even in, when you talk about language, and that's why today I talked about you being the smartest guy in the room. I was reading your projects. I was on ChatGPT trying to, I'm going, all right, how am I going to interview this guy? I got to figure this out. But the truth is the language itself, people, you know, people don't understand. And so I said, okay, look, we are the people, okay? We need to be able to translate this message, smart guys like you, and have our own pipeline and say, look, here's what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's what the left-wing environmentalists are coming in and saying, well, save the whales. Mm-hmm. And we have to sit there and talk about a different formula and something that's real complicated. So organizations, professionals like yourself who have kind of come to a point where we have to do something, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're doing that is so important. I mean, here's an issue and that has come from California. Okay, let's talk about setback laws. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so bad policy often starts in California and jumps to the East Coast. There are some anti-energy forces pushing setback laws here in Pennsylvania, okay? And before I, you know, I use this example, okay? So brace yourself.
Okay.
I walked out my house right now, Mike, and ran up the street and asked every one of my neighbors what a setback was. If one of them knew, I'd run naked down Broad Street in Philly. Yeah. Bridge. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, don't worry about it. That would be enough trauma. But guess what? We don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Right.
Because no one knows what setbacks are and that they will shut down a large portion of energy, especially natural gas, in Pennsylvania on a dime. So
right.
let's talk about that. Okay. Because it's talk about you know, how devastating, you know, these setback rules have been in California, and how can you give us some advice and lessons learned, if you will, on what the most effective thing we can do to push back on this bad policy, what you guys are doing in California, what we can do in PA?
Yeah, what we did, we have SB 1137, which instituted 3,200 foot setbacks from any sensitive receptor, home, school, place of business, really public park, really anything that people frequent is considered a sensitive receptor. And so 3,200 feet, we said that's not based on any science. What we did in Californians for Energy and Science, we did an air monitoring study where we took devices that can monitor for lower explosive limits, hydrogen sulfide gas, methane, all the things that the environmentalists are telling the public that are poisoning the community from oil and gas wells. We said, okay, well, we'll put devices. We're not going to put them on the fence line. We're going to put them right on the well. We're going to put them right on the production rig doing the work in the field every day. We found nothing. We went to a site in front of Kern River, 9,000 active oil wells. It sits across the street from a community called Oildale because it was built to service the oil fields. We found no harmful emissions over 30 days monitoring there with 9 devices throughout the field, creating a fence line between the community and the activity. We went to an active drilling operation. We went to production facilities. We found an alarm. So one day we saw this hit on our sensors and we said, what is this? So it's not from the well because it hadn't been happening during the drilling. We pinpointed with the time logs and what was happening on that drilling pad. The spike we saw in emissions was at the exact same time that the septic crew was pumping out the porta potties. So the devices are on, they're working, and they're literally picking up the methane and the H2S being pumped out of the porta potty and the carbon monoxide from the truck that's pumping the porta potty. And meanwhile, you've got porta potties at every construction site all over this country. We don't have 3,200 foot setbacks from porta potties. So it's those kinds of basic scientific research projects that need to be done before these policies are instituted. And you're right about the big companies. The problem with big oil companies is, you know, someone at the lower level needs to get approval to write a thank you note. I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything to do with environmentalism. But if you want to do something, if you want to go take a bathroom break, you got to get a hall pass at a big company. I mean, they are so micromanaged because they're all about, one, managing risk, and two, making money. If it's not managing risk and making money, you basically need 10 different approvals to make it happen. So we as an industry need the independent voices like Californians for Energy and Science to do this kind of research to say, no, we're going to do this study. We're not just going to study the law and see how we react as a big company. We're going to do a scientific research project and show that this is fake science. And so that's what needs to be done with setbacks and all these other issues. We need to be doing the science ourselves and educating the community.
Yeah, and in a sense, we need our own grassroots, okay?
Absolutely.
Coming from the big oil companies, clearly they're not focused. I imagine at this point, because you imagine that at one time, obviously, not very long ago, this situation was unimaginable to big oil. Like, in other words, grassroots, okay? But the funding they're getting, like when you talk about the Sierra Club and a lot of these organizations that are funding these left-wing campaigns, is absolutely astronomical. And so, you can't be on the tracks and the train's coming, even if you're big oil or natural gas or whatever. And so that's why it's so important. We try to take our labor community, not just in Philly, but, across the land, and sit there and say, there's a lot of grassroots people right here. They got to be educated in what's going on. They got families and friends. That dinner table narrative, that needs to have somebody at the table going, wait a second, dad, or mom said whatever. And I think that's what organizations are doing right now, because what's on the line is our energy security, number one, and number two, our grids. Okay, to get the energy that we need.
Right.
By the way, I am so impressed and so, in a sense, excited about, Californians for Energy and Science, because in a sense, it kind of gives us hope.
I hope we're giving people hope. I mean, you're right on energy security. California oil production won World War II. We ramped up in the 1920s and 30s. California was the world's largest oil producer. We ramped up production 42% in Kern County, in the Midway Sunset Field and the Naval Petroleum Reserve to supply oil to the Allied forces to win World War II. It's absolutely fundamental to energy security. And on labor, every one refinery job counts for at least 14 jobs in the community. So exactly. We are the fabric of the community. And that goes for the LA Basin or the Central Valley of California, throughout the state. If you don't have oil and gas jobs, you don't have an economy. It all starts to crumble. And that's what's happening in California.
Absolutely. And certainly, you know, we're watching it and it's coming our way and it's happening. And so this is such a relevant conversation. We only have a few minutes left. Okay. I want to spitfire a little bit. You know, we spent a lot of time on this show talking about California's gas powered car bans, price control laws and other mandates that have driven refineries out of the state. It seems like people in California are starting to realize that the government is the reason for the high energy prices, and these policies, you know, are not doing anything for the environment.
Right.
You think that's true? Elaborate, if you will.
Oh, I know it's true. There was a report last week that came out from USC, a professor that said 50 years of bad energy policy are the result are resulting in the highest gasoline prices in the country. And he breaks down, it's a couple hundred page report that shows how the policies are hurting the people. California's gasoline is about $4.85 today. It's under $3 across most of the country. When you look at the breakdown, Sacramento had this brilliant idea of saying, well, we're going to track the big profits that are being made by big oil, and we're going to track that and report on that. Well, what they found was $1.26 out of every gallon goes to state climate fees and taxes. The state of California is making more per gallon of gasoline than the refiners are making on the gasoline. And they just don't talk about it anymore because those are the facts. Meanwhile, you see Governor Newsom on Bill Maher last week saying, well, California works well in a state of emergency. Well, we're in a national energy emergency that President Trump has said is rooted in bad policy by the northeastern states. You need gas pipelines and drilling permits. And the western states, you need drilling permits, pipelines, infrastructure, and local energy production. So thank God we have a new regime in Washington, D.C. Californians for Energy and Science will be going to Washington, D.C. in 3 days. And so we'll be there every month going forward of this administration, telling the story. Because what I believe needs to happen is the federal agencies, the Department of Energy, the BLM, the EPA, they need to know that we exist. They need to know that there are energy projects that are shovel ready, drill bit ready. We need to permit, baby, permit. And it needs to happen through the federal agencies, because Sacramento is blocking our ability for affordable, reliable, clean energy produced in California.
And we're proud to have had Chris Wright on this program. Certainly, yes. Things are great. I mean, are pointing in the right direction nationally, but we still have to be passionate statewide. Before we go, Mike, and we really appreciate you being on the program, how can our listeners follow Californians for Energy and Science, and for our listeners on the West Coast, get involved?
We have a LinkedIn page. Californians for Energy and Science on LinkedIn is an easy way to follow us. We'll boost out some other social media, but we're really focused on scientific research right now. And then our website is energyandscience.com, energyandscience.com. So that's an easy way to get a hold of us. If you want to reach out to me personally, LinkedIn is a great way. I'm always down to talk to people, to do podcasts, to meet with people for lunch. We'll talk to anybody. We need to educate one person at a time and bring us in, invite us into your university. We'll come lecture. We'll do it all. Whatever you want us to do, we're passionate, and we're trying to save California's energy systems.
Mike Umbro, Californians for Energy and Science. We can't thank you enough for being on the program, and also the founder and principal of Fieldview Capital Advisors. We appreciate your time, my friend. Keep doing the great work you're doing. Can't wait to have you back on again.
Likewise. Thank you for putting a spotlight on us and letting us shine a light on this issue.
My pleasure. We'll have more from the Labor and Energy Show
just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause, Bullseye J-Doc, Mike Embro's closing statement in terms of educating people one person at a time, if necessary. Well done. Just a great show today.
Yeah, Joe. Mike was fantastic. It is so awesome to hear about California's for energy and science. In essence, it's a lot like what we did here with labor and energy. They put together an organization with the industry, okay, and educating the public on a lot of these details. And they're focused on a lot of the same things we are here on the East Coast, but they're in the heart of obviously left-wing environmental territory in California. And they're educating and doing a fantastic job. So, Mike Umbro, man, great to have him on the program. And certainly with organizations out there like that, the narrative can and will be changed. We all care about our environment. We can't wipe our traditional energy resources off the planet in order to energize our nation.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Again, special thanks to Mike Umbro. Perfect time to remind everyone, specific to today's show, download the podcast, search the Labor and Energy Show, and rewatch, re-listen. A lot of ground covered today between J-Doc and Mike. On behalf of J-Doc, on behalf of our special guest today, Mike Umbro, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. But you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.